This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, ladies and gents. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Yuvraj
and Audrey Raj.
With you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon, of course. Started off the show today with should people in power be held responsibility? Should people in power be held responsible for their social media updates? We've had a bunch of tweets and WhatsApp messages and one thing or another. We're going to keep the conversation going, but if you want to get in touch, get us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio. So we discussed the idea of why CEOs should limit their social media use. Now, let's quickly talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about it because I'm a fan of the franchise, although I am. But tweeting something has consequences, as we've seen from share prices dropping and potential war in Iran. Bringing it down a little bit is, what's his name?
James Gunn.
So yeah. For people at home who don't know who he is, just give a bit of background of.
Yeah, so James Gunn is the guy who directed like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, Volume 2. So he's big in, you know, the Marvel side of things. He's an executive producer with Disney. And last week he got fired from Disney because he someone dug up his old tweets where he made jokes about pedophilia and sexual assault. Some rapey jokes and stuff were in there. So someone dug up all these screenshots of these jokes, and then they didn't expose it, but they resurfaced these tweets. And Disney decided to drop him from his contract. So he was already working on Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and then he was abruptly fired.
So I mean, this is somebody who made jokes in bad taste. Mm-hmm. But they were essentially jokes, but you know, they were on a topic that, you know, it's something.
And 10 years ago.
But yeah. It's something you shouldn't be joking about, right?
No, you shouldn't. No, it's so everyone has come out and said that, even people who support him say that they were dumb jokes. He should have never said it. They were disgusting and stuff. But these are things that he has said himself. So a while after he made the joke, like a couple of years later, he came out and he apologized. He was at one of those GLAAD events. He apologized for making homophobic jokes. He apologized to sexual assault victims and that he never meant to hurt anyone. His sense of humor is sort of, if you've seen his movies, like his older movies like Slither and Romeo and Juliet and stuff, they are very dark, disgusting humor. It comes from a very twisted place.
Right.
But he says it's just that they are jokes. He has grown as a person. He has matured. His sense of humor has matured. And he wants to make different movies. He thought that being edgy and sort of pushing boundaries and stuff would get him into Hollywood because he's an independent filmmaker. But then he found that there were other things that he could do. He could make stories about love and compassion and, you know, being inclusive and stuff, as he has shown in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. So there was no reason for him to delete those tweets. They are still on his account. It's just that he was being very outspoken about Donald Trump after the Helsinki summit. So he was tweeting, and someone sort of threatened him and said, you should keep quiet or we will find stuff to silence you. So someone from the other side, the other camp, dug up all these tweets and then put it on his Twitter. It blew up, and because I think Disney didn't want like a PR nightmare on their hands, they just fired him.
Wow.
Yeah. This other person who dug up his tweets, by the way, has his own tweets. And he's someone who doesn't even joke about rape. He's someone who looks like he condones it.
Wow.
The person who dug it up.
He's an alt-right
yeah,
activist.
Yeah. He's an alt-right activist. He said, and his stuff isn't even done with humor. He has violent, sort of very barbaric tweets on his feed. But that's the guy who outed James, not even outed, that's the guy who said that he would silence James Gunn, and then he did all this stuff. Disney fired him, and James Gunn hasn't tweeted since.
I mean, I'm assuming that the guy who's the alt-right guy doesn't have that much to lose. He's not, you know, directing Hollywood movies or anything like that.
So yeah,
the consequences of doing what he did is that he gets the headlines.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I mean, at the end of the day, like, James Gunn suffered consequences for stuff that he tweeted 8 years ago. There's a petition on, I think has got like 250,000 signatures asking Disney to like rehire him, because he has apologized like numerous times. He even said it after the tweets came out. He said that he has come out in public. He has said it himself that he is sorry for the tweets. He didn't delete them because he wanted people to see that he has grown as a person and there's nothing for him to hide. So, you know, that's the debate that's going on. Like, you know, should you penalize someone for something they said 10 years ago, even though they've come out and matured, and even if they said it's just for humor, even though it was a twisted sense of humor?
Well, there's an old tweet for everything.
Right.
Isn't that true? Yep, I mean, if you look at some of Trump's old tweet, didn't he accuse President Obama on Twitter of wanting to wage war against Iran just so that he can look tough?
You're right.
He's talking about Obama here, right?
Yep,
and now look what's happened.
Yeah.
Not only that, but he does it in all caps as well, making himself look even tougher. Anyway, right, let's move on. But that's the whole thing, you know, the idea of, you know, just putting something on social media. It's unless you are smart, it's there forever. And somebody will find it, you know.
So just Screen capture.
Exactly. Just be careful.
Mm. But this is the like the other side of accountability, right? I mean, we say that people should be held accountable, but for how long should they be held accountable?
Agreed.
And can they say something, apologize, actually grow, and then are they still held accountable? Because if they are, then what's the point of changing? If you're going to pull up someone's like crimes from 15 years ago and then penalize them now, then what's the point of them changing at all? I mean, they might as well just be the same person.
018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number if you want to contribute. Also get us on Twitter or on Instagram at BFM Radio. Moving on to story number three, how the world's most powerful app is squandering its lead and Chinese millennials are leaving WeChat in droves.
Yeah.
Why? And what's going on?
Droves, but then compared to like the actual number, like the percentage of people who use WeChat, it's a small number.
Ah.
But because it's China and because the population is so huge, so even a small percentage amounts to like a large population of millennials, which is pretty interesting because WeChat's penetration rate in China is 83%. Some places it can reach up to 92% in first tier cities. So it's more like it's not even a social media platform anymore. It's more like the backbone of how
people communicate in China.
It does like a whole bunch of things. It's not just a chat app, but it says here, this is a piece that we pulled from the Star. It says that a growing group of tech-savvy Chinese millennials, often with overseas exposure, those are the keywords, who are becoming increasingly disillusioned with China's closed internet ecology that is effectively dominated by a few tech giants, which are Tencent, Alibaba, Baidu. They have started to sort of leave WeChat because they've gone out of China. They have picked up this mentality where you cannot have super surveillance. They don't like to be watched for everything that they do. And they say that there is no privacy with WeChat. Mm-hmm. That people in China would choose convenience over security.
Right.
And even though all these companies are sort of free to pull up their chats and see whatever they're texting, people don't actually care that much. The majority of people don't care.
So your messages on WeChat are not encrypted?
No. They're not encrypted.
No. The Chinese government has access to all of your data that's stored on any of Tencent servers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tencent has come out and said that they don't violate any kind of, you know, any kind of laws and stuff. But if the authorities come up to Tencent and say that they want to pull up a chat thread or like or something that they've said, then they can immediately do it. It's all there. And they don't encrypt. So encryption is a worldwide standard. But because China operates a bit differently, so they don't encrypt their messages.
Mm.
So these millennials who've sort of gone out to other countries and study, then they've come back to China to work or to, you know, continue study or to just to live there. They don't want to use these platforms anymore because they don't feel safe.
Mm.
And they're saying that they think that the proper thing to do will be to sort of force privacy. Companies that have so much surveillance and so much insight into what you do shouldn't be allowed to have that much insight. So they're taking a stand to sort of say that, no, we don't want to use all these platforms until there's a confirmation of privacy for them, the same way that is done in places like the US and most of Europe.
But hasn't the Chinese government, you know, effectively said, you know, we want backdoors to all of this information, you know, otherwise you can't use that product on the mainland?
Yeah, so that's how they... Because it comes back to the fact that not many people push for it. That's why these people are sort of taking that stand to say that, no, this is how it should be. This is, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, giving so much information to companies and stuff. But yeah, because most people like the convenience of having WeChat, so they don't push for privacy at all. And these companies sort of go like, yeah, okay, so we can look into your messages. If you're not doing anything wrong, then you have nothing to worry about.
That same old chestnut.
Yeah, that same old chestnut, which the other side they're saying, no, it's not about doing something wrong or right. It's just my privacy, and I don't want to share certain messages with you, and I don't like you having an insight on what I do on a daily basis. Yeah,
I don't want people to know what I'm having for lunch.
No, I like to give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think it's because they don't care about their privacy being exposed to the government or anything like that. I think it's because they're so dependent on this app for communication and for payment, because it's also a wallet, is it not? So I think that is the reason why they can't seem to detach themselves, or they don't see another option that's good enough, or maybe they need two or three different apps to do whatever they can do on WeChat. And everyone is already on WeChat. They're buying stuff, they're paying for stuff, they are communicating, they are group chatting, they're sharing stuff, so they can't move away.
It's even a news and content platform. They say it's a mobile payment service, news and content platform, e-commerce hub, even a civil administrative center. So a user can provide their account as a form of an electronic social security ID and use it to manage pensions and taxes, all on WeChat.
So that's the thing. I think they just can't detach themselves. They don't have another option, and that's why they're stuck.
Much dependency.
Yeah, just my theory.
Yeah.
Well, I know they've started using the wallet function. I believe has been activated here in Malaysia just a couple of weeks ago. A couple of members of our staff here have started using it as well. So it's definitely rolling. Yeah, but like you say, this is one of those big issues where they don't really have much of a choice, and they're never really going to have much of a choice. That's the bigger issue, I think. So they'll just rather drop it, and you'll see other stuff being developed there, or rather being used. Telegram, I think, is something that will get fairly big over there, and I think Signal will probably get fairly big over there as well, both of which have end-to-end encryption.
They'll have to get super big, because WeChat has 1 billion active monthly users.
My word.
1 billion.
Wow.
My word.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to take a short break. Music coming up from Justin Townes Earl, a track called My Baby Drives. When we get back, final story of the day, how Etihad have launched customer service line on WhatsApp. Just a few moments ago, we were talking about what would happen if your plane was delayed and whether or not the CEO should get online and start talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
This is an easy way. It's like a hotline to God almost. Don't go anywhere. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.